Awesome. So good to see everyone here tonight. Tonight we're starting a series called Passages, and this is all about people's stories and scriptures that have gotten them through times in their lives that they needed a word from God. They needed the Spirit to come alongside of them and to be that aid. And that's what we're talking about tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we've seen this passage come up. If you have been with us the last year, we did this series, and we do this periodically throughout the year. For a lot of us, this is one of our like favorite series that we revisit from time to time, because we get a chance to put, the way I kind of say it is, sort of puts flesh on some scripture. You know, and I know we all fundamentally agree that the scripture should impact our life, but a lot of times it becomes like, kind of in this video, you know, we forget that the scripture are God's words to us, to go with us in this journey. It's just not a book that we just kind of sit on the table on, you know, Sunday afternoon after church, and, you know, we kind of have family day or whatever, and maybe we come back for church Sunday night, maybe you don't, and then Monday through Saturday, you know, you sort of just forget everything. And what we're trying to tell you this through this series, you're going to hear some pretty amazing stories. And through these stories, we're going to see how this scripture has helped impact people's lives and really shape experiences that could have been overwhelming, and yet God supernaturally intervened through His Word. Romans chapter 8, and we're starting with verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says this: "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? He will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." In these famous three verses here in verse 37 through 39, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors." You could literally translate that super conquerors. "Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, the agape of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Father, I pray that you would use your servant tonight. You would use, Lord, your word to speak life to us. In the strong name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Tonight, I want to invite Bruce Snavely, and Bruce is here, and he's going to come. I was looking for Becky. Bruce, I thought I saw her earlier on. Oh, and she's right over here, and that's his wife, and Bruce is going to come up. Would you welcome Bruce Snavely? And why don't you have a seat over there? Bruce, if you would, just grab that microphone right there. This is Bruce, everyone. Everyone say hi, Bruce. The way that we do this is it's sort of like a conversation, and we just pray that God is going to kind of direct us. We're going to walk through this verse of these verses of Scripture. And Bruce, if you get thirsty, there is a nice cold glass of water. Me too. And it's awesome being up here with you. I know we're not going to have a chance to talk about this once we get into everything, but would you tell a little bit about the ministry that you started here? I know I didn't tell you about this, but the ministry that you helped start a few months ago that I think is super awesome, by the way?
Well, it's it's simply an oil change ministry that we, where we change the oil for single moms. We advertise it as for single moms, widows, and wives of deployed men. We do, this past Saturday, 10 vehicles. We've done as many as 15, I believe. There's about 30 volunteers or more in the total team. And there's just a lot of different things that goes on that morning besides changing the oil. But it gives us a time for other ladies to interact one-on-one with these single moms. Most of them are unchurched who come. There are some who just drive by on Campbell and see the sign and stop in and have their oil changed. But we've made some really great connections, I think, with different organizations in town now, with the Family Violence Center, with Pregnancy Care Center, and other organizations that serve some of these single moms. So it's really been just great how God has put it together, and the team of people that all work together. It's a team effort, and it's just a neat time.
I think Bruce is one of the heroes in here in this church, but here in the kingdom as well. And I just want to personally thank him publicly for that. I was talking with one of the moms this past Saturday that was getting their oil changed, and I walked away from the conversation, and I'm a little goofy, so you guys, anyway, was that a clap? or maybe an agreement or something, but anyway, I kind of walked away, and in my own simple mind, I just sat there and I said, sometimes I think Jesus communicates through oil, like oil change. And I walk away from that because, they're not just sitting out in the cold while they're getting their oil changed. They're inside in the warmth, and we have people there to talk to them and help them through things, and someone there to play with their kids. I mean, this is like, I'm dressing up. Never mind. That's a bad joke. But let's just say they take care of these moms. And if you know someone, the second Saturday of each month, we would love to be a ministry to them and a blessing to them. But can we express our appreciation to Bruce for that? I just think it's absolutely amazing. And he never lets me thank him normally. He's, no, brother, it's just everything. And I'm like, stop it. Let me just thank you. I want to thank you. It makes me feel better. So just do it for me, Bruce. Anyway, Bruce, you have a pretty amazing story, and I know that even back when I served here at this church before, I had even a little bit of connection there, so I'm familiar with your story, but I know some people here may not be familiar with all that has happened in your family. And before we jump into these verses, I'd kind of like for you to paint a picture of what you and your family went through that made these verses really come alive to you. Would you explain a little bit about that story as a backdrop for us? Okay.
Well, my family, my wife and I and kids, were living out in Illinois, where I was serving as a youth pastor there in Danville, Illinois. By the way, where Pastor Dave Rumley went as senior pastor there. And it was just shortly after we'd been there about 6 months, and you get the phone call that you never anticipate, never want to receive, never think that you would ever receive in your life. And I grew up in a pastor's home. We just had a great childhood, I think. Here in a small town in Missouri, a couple hours north of here. This is kind of our home area anyway. But never in my, wildest imagination would I have thought that the events that were about to unfold, would really have taken place. But anyway, got a call from my dad and said that my sister was gone her name was Sandra, and she was 15 months younger than myself, and she had three boys who have grown up in this church. And anyway, make a long story short, she was murdered at the age of 29. That was in 1990. And, you know, just a very traumatic time for a whole family, you know, that lasted for quite a while. And I think death in some ways is something that you progressively, you know, work through for a number of years. Her situation made it difficult because there was a trial. You relived everything that happened, you know, for about 3 weeks during a trial. And you know, I was close to my sister in age, so we were close. Our kids were very close in age, our two families especially, and have remained close. Our two boys and her three boys have all been close. There's a lot that can be said, of course, about that whole situation. Unfortunately, one of my best friends in high school that I grew up with and played tennis with, we traveled together competitively in tennis for a few summers, and was my sister's husband, was charged with in her murder, and received a life sentence without parole. Then, if we could skip forward 10 years, really, we were still living in Danville. I was working in a bivocational capacity there in town, as well as pastoring a home missions work close by. At the end of January of 2000, received another phone call from my dad that said that my other sister had died. Casey Bass was her name, and she graduated from Evangel along with her husband Mark Bass. And she was 17 years younger than myself. My parents had four children and when I was in high school. And then my sophomore year, my mom had Casey. Hmm. So she was, you know, the baby doll of the family. We all got to take care of her, rock her, all this. And really loved our youngest sister. But coming back on a trip from Omaha, traveling in separate vehicles with her in-laws, Larry and Meredith Bass, who had a counseling business here in town, profession. They all died, all four of them died in a 24-car pileup of 19 cars and six semis, 25, something like that, which all caught on fire, and 11 people died in that fire around Kansas City, coming home from Omaha one Sunday. then that was in 2000. The company I worked for then, just to paint this large picture, had been in business since 1950. And in 2001, I found out after working for them eight and a half years that they were going to file bankruptcy, and I lost my job in 2000, at the end of 2002, beginning of 2003. Could not find employment. Tried to do some things on my own, self-employment-wise. That was a complete failure, I thought, at the time. I can smile about it now, but I wasn't smiling then, that's for sure. In the meantime, my children were moving to Springfield. My daughter and her husband, Krissa and Brett Holy Cross, moved here ahead of us. My son, Brandon, was coming to Evangel, so we just decided. My parents lived here in Springfield. My brother and his wife live here. We thought we would just come to Springfield. And we did, but employment was hard to find for us around here, at least what paid, what comparative to our income back in Illinois. We ended up with employment, but I took a 55% cut in pay. My wife took a 35% cut in pay for what we were making, and we were struggling. You put all that together, and as I look back on it now, though, you know, I'm really here tonight to testify on God's amazing grace and love and care, and just realizing that not only did we survive, you know, that whole set of circumstances, but God's purpose and plan for our lives, you know, are further being revealed. It's been a great healing time here at this church. This church family and pastoral staff and just everybody in our Sunday school class, it's just been a very healing time for us. So praise God.
I think that it's pretty amazing. As Bruce and I were talking before, I kept thinking when he was telling me this, you know, have you ever heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours? And as he was describing all this stuff, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, you know. But this is life. I mean, this stuff happens. It's not if it'll happen, it's when it happens. I mean, and this stuff happens. And Bruce, when you and I were talking about these verses, and I know how amazing God has, God is, and God has taken you guys through this incredible healing process, and what a wonderful family you have, and great kids, and the whole nine yards. And as I was looking through this scripture, I know there were several things that popped out to me, but I wanted you to sort of talk about what God revealed to you through these scriptures. Like in this first, verse 26, it says this, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express."
Well, this scripture has basically has said three things to me. First of all, there are things that we do not know. And secondly, there are things that the Spirit knows, that God knows. And then last of all, in verse 28, there are things that we do know. But, you know, what we do not know is how we ought to pray. And I know, you know, I've been there where prayer was just simply a desperate cry for God. And I look back on when I was served, you know, as a youth pastor and as a senior pastor. And you know, there's things, unfortunately, that you do because you have to do them. It's part, you know, it's part of your position. As a pastor, you know, to read the Bible, to pray, to. But when you go through, you know, the kinds of things that I went through, those just weren't good enough anymore. You know, I can remember when I first moved here, every time I would get in my car alone and drive to work or drive into town, I would just start weeping before the Lord, not really even knowing what to say. But I knew that He was listening and that He could figure things out, because I certainly could not, you know, figure things out at all. So, you know, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but then the Spirit, it says, Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And, you know, the same, I've always been encouraged that this is the same Spirit who hovered over the darkness and the formlessness of the new creation that we see in Genesis. I mean, if He could create something out of nothing, out of darkness, you know, there's surely, you know, nothing in my life that's too difficult for Him to hover over and bring back to life, you know, in my own life. So, you know, desperation is a good thing in prayer sometimes. I mean, just to cry out to God and know that He hears the pain of what you of how you cry out. You know, you don't really even have to say anything. You know, it's and then, but we do know in verse 28 that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And that's, you know, that's not saying that all things are good, because there's a lot of bad things that happen in life, period.
Right.
And the things I've described certainly were, you know, bad things. And yet, you know, I would just cry out to God and say, God, in the midst of all this mess, do something in my life that will bring about good, that will bring something positive, you know, not just to my life, but the people around me. And, you know, God's able to do that with whatever we go through and confront.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, as I was trying to let these scriptures just marinate in me, I oftentimes pull out, I'm not sure if you guys do this, but sometimes when I'm really focusing in on the scripture, I'll grab different versions of the Bible, and I pulled up a couple that I want to read to you. The NASB, the New American Standard Version, says this in verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And this is the same Spirit that John describes as, the Greek word would be our paraclete, our partner, the one that comes alongside of us, and He helps us in our weakness. And when it says this, when we don't know how to pray as we should, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Too deep for words. Listen to what the Contemporary English Version says. In certain ways we are weak, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. All of our thoughts are known to God. He can understand what is in the mind of the Spirit as the Spirit prays for God's people. Isn't that awesome? You know, that the Spirit is here to pray. And it's funny because most scholars believe that this is one of the examples of a use of like private the private uses of tongues. There are obviously some scholars that disagree with that. And it's funny because I was digging up something and I found one of these famous scholars named F.F. Bruce, who I just love. I want you to listen to what he said about this verse. Speaking to God through tongues in the private use for prayer may be included in this expression, but it certainly covers the deepest, and I'm pointing this out because of what Bruce said, this desperation, deep longing to pray towards God. I mean, I just want you to, if we can just have a mass confession for a second. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a place where you did not know how to pray for something. You knew that there was a need, and you're like, Lord, I have no idea what to pray for. And he says this, it certainly covers the deepest longing and aspirations which well up inside of us that cannot be imprisoned within the confines of everyday words. Isn't that an amazing line? That the deepest longings, it covers the deepest longings and aspirations which well up inside of us that cannot be imprisoned with the confines of everyday words. These are the type of longings and groanings that, you know what, you're at the point of, you're so desperate and you're like, God, and I know that sometimes I've been praying and seeking the Lord and not knowing what to pray for and literally just praying that God, His will would be done on this earth, and there was just so far out of the capacity, at least within me, to articulate it with words. And I really believe that is where the Spirit comes along and He intercedes to God on our behalf. And it's that Spirit that Paul talks about in Corinthians that communicates with God. He intercedes for us. And it's really an amazing thing here. In verse 16, I thought this was awesome. Verse 16 of chapter 8, it says this, which I think these two verses are tied together. It says this, because this is the verse immediately before that we see the same type of verb context going on here in the verse. It says this, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then in the verse, that's why I think it says in the same way. I think it's kind of tying all these verses together. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. You know what's amazing about that? I connect these two verses. We don't know what we pray for, but we're His children. You know, Bruce and his family going through this thing, and this thing that no one can, you know, he can't even put it into words, and he's right there in the middle of it. It's hard to know as a pastor and as a friend when someone comes to you with a need too big to articulate. It's hard to know what to pray for them and how to like just communicate the words of love and the words of life from God's word to them. And sometimes we just need to be reassured. You know, just like I've got two little beautiful daughters, 5 and 2, and there is nothing on this earth that gives me more pleasure at this point than spanking them. No, I'm just kidding. Than to please them. I mean, I want them to love life. And we tease all the time because they'll start crying like our friends in the back there, which Todd, we love. So, you know, and we're like, look, life is not that hard. You know, sometimes I'm trying to communicate to my 5-year-old, Carson, life is not that bad. Or Chloe, my 2-year-old, who wants to watch this movie called Hairspray every day of her life. Look, it's okay. You don't have to watch it every day. And it's, you know, it's not going to crush you to do that. Sometimes I'm just reassured to know that although my life is spinning out of control and life is not going the way that my 10-year plan indicated that it would when I mapped it out on organizationalleadership.com, it's not going that way. And so what do I do? Instead of going crazy, I kind of trust that I'm serving a God and my Father, and He knows what is best. And I might not get my way every time, but I don't know that we've ever been promised in Scripture that we're going to get everything our way, have we? No. I think, in fact, the model that Jesus told us is that not my will, but yours be done. And a short prayer that's literally only 20-something words, not my will, but yours be done, is the model that we cry out in desperation. And so Bruce here has kind of told us the story of desperation. It's important for us. I don't think we, sometimes we talk about this more as a methodology and less as a desperate cry, that we all should be crying out to God. I mean, let's forget about all the methods. And I've done, and I think that they're helpful. You know, I'll write down soap in the corner of my journal and the scripture and the observation, the application and the prayer. And I do all that stuff, okay? But there are some times that you just need to say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. And I need your help. And that's that desperate cry that Bruce is talking about. Bruce, what else in these verses kind of sticks out to you as something that got you through and your family through this time?
Well, you know, the questions that we see, rhetorical questions there in verse 31, which I call the who questions. Mm-hmm. You know, who can be against us? In verse 33, who will bring any charge against us? In verse 34, who is he that condemns? And then verse 35, who shall separate us? I mean, right. All of them are meant to be sort of rhetorical questions that really lead us back to this relationship. And then verse 37 kind of sets the context, you know, by saying no. In all these sayings, we are more than conquerors. And then I like the next phrase. It says, through him who loved us. So it's all set in the context of a relationship, you know, that we have with God. And that's really, you know, what we're talking about with out of this desperate, you know, cry to God. It's not just, you know, it's not a methodology. It's not something, you know, that's just part of practice. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship, and I guess, you know, after going through this, you know, I had to step back and realize that I had been guilty in the past of just going through just rote times, you know, right. Where I just did things because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. But when you realize, you know, that there is a genuine relationship with God himself, who look at all that he has accomplished in the world, and you read, you know, the miracles and you see the transformation of dead people like Lazarus, you know, brought to life, and you see people around you healed and just helped, you know, in tremendous ways. You know, he's the same God who steps right into the mud puddle of your life, you know, and pulls you up, you know, out of, we used to sing that song, you know, deep miry clay that had the words in it, but he literally pulls you up out of that. Mm. And he is able to set your feet, you know, on solid ground.
Right.
And that's what, you know, this just means so much to me in all these things, all the things that go before here, that's been talked about already in this passage. We're more than conquerors.
Right.
That's a neat part.
Yeah. And of course it goes on to say, I'm convinced, which I love, that essentially nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And the one last thing that I want to point out was a quote that I found on this passage of Scripture. And the quote simply says this: the new community of men and women conformed to the image of Christ is seen to have been, from the beginning, the object of God's foreknowledge and mercy. The old creation in itself is sufficient for the realization of this goal. It requires the redemptive work of Christ and his consequent status of the lordship in our lives, of lordship in our lives. You know, essentially what this is saying is this scripture, I've heard some people say that, so this basically means as long as I'm a good person, since we're all predestined, you know, to, you know, by God, that he loves us, and as long as we're a good person, that everything's going to work out good for us. And I just want to say that that is not what this scripture is saying. If you just feel like you're going to be a good person and things are going to end up being good for you, there's a word for that that's called karma, and it's, you know, kind of New Age philosophy and New Age religion. Now, this in fact beckons a relationship with God, because it's right in these verses, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." This is the verb form of love. To quote the theologians, D.C. Talk, love is a verb. You know, love is a verb. It extends to you, and it beckons a relationship, because there's sin that separates us from God. And outside of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, these things will not be possible in your life. All good things are not going to come to people, but we have to see in this verse that having a relationship with Christ, and I want to say this, it matters. Having a relationship with Christ matters. I think here in our culture, it's starting to feel a bit from the people I talk to that if as long as we just live in this, you know, sort of that everyone's a Christian and we're in this political race right now where it's just, it's kind of the posh thing to say I'm a Christian, and what's that mean? And maybe that just means I'm a good person. I have family members who have said that they were Christian, but that they're not Christian. I want to say that it takes a relationship, that it takes being close with the Lord, and it's only through the acceptance of God's grace and mercy in your life and the forgiveness of those sins that we have that relationship with God. And then in all these things, Christ will work those things. In fact, there's one place, one verse that actually tried to translate this a little bit better. And it says, God causes all things to work for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And they added that to God there, right in the middle of part A right there. And it's because our love has to be extended to God. A relationship with God matters. Let's not be just kind of blasé about what a relationship with God means. And I believe if we stay close with him in that desperation with prayer like Bruce was talking about and engaged in that relationship, it's not a badge that, you know, everything is going to be good. No, in all these things, God will work good. And although we would have never said to Bruce, and you never even say it as a friend, you know, when someone's going through a tragedy that, hey, brother, just keep smiling because it's all going to be good. You know, no, you never say that. You deserve a slap. You know, I deserve a slap if I ever say that. Sometimes we just need to pray and just ask, you know, God, be with us. And I know that in a room like this with the people here, there are people with stories, you know, and everyone's not... doesn't have a chance to come up here. And Bruce's story is special because it's his story. And you know what? Your story is special because it's yours. And I want to say to you, and I felt this, and I just kind of waited till now to say it, but after worship, I really just felt this sense in my heart that someone just here tonight needs to know. I just felt two words really, really impressed on my heart. And the two words are, you matter. You matter. You matter to God. Your story matters. Bruce is telling his story, but the bigger picture here that we're trying to communicate that Bruce has so done so well is to communicate that your story is special. And out of your own desperation, to cry out to God, and he'll meet you right where you are tonight. Bruce, would you lead us in a time of prayer as we close tonight?
You know, I wanted to say something. Pastor, and that is, you know, having gone through this and then to experience the fellowship with God, you know, in such a greater intimate way than what's been in my life in the past, you know, there's no way I would want to go back, you know, to the way that I communicated with God before. I mean, God's fellowship in our life, like you said, is just so real. And man,
amen.
What a special connection He gives
amen.
With us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for your amazing love,
yes, Jesus.
God, into our lives. You've helped all of us, Lord, and you see everyone here tonight, and I don't know what everyone's gone through, but everyone sitting here right now, Lord, can undoubtedly say, God, that there's something in my life that I need help with, or I've needed help with. And Lord, just help us all to maintain that closeness with you. God, let us draw near to you.
Yes.
And you've given us, Lord, that assurance that as we draw near to you, Lord, you're always going to be there. God, just help us to reach out, to touch you, to God, to talk with you, and just to keep that fellowship going. I pray for anyone here this morning or this evening where their fellowship with you has grown cold. God, may that not continue. May there be intention with all of us, Lord, and getting back to that place, Lord, where we commune with you and we know that the Spirit is interceding on our behalf,
yes, Jesus,
for your purpose in our life to be revealed. That's what we all want, God. Reveal, continue to reveal your purpose throughout our life, not our own ambitions, Lord, but yours.
Yes, Jesus.
Your will be done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Can we express our appreciation to Bruce? Thank you so much, brother. Bruce will be around a little bit later if you are, you know, afterwards, if you'd like to say thanks to him. But I would like to thank you for coming tonight to New Community. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be hearing different people's stories, so you're not going to want to miss it. Next week is Mark Grantham, who's a good friend of a lot of us, and then the last week is Jeremy and Becky Tucker. We're looking forward to having them. So God bless you guys, and have a great week, okay?